Hello, I'm Laura Scales, a dedicated arts facilitator, career counselor, and the CEO of Living Arts Detroit. Join us as we chat with both experienced and emerging artistic professionals who have ignited their creativity and shaped their careers to thrive while living in the arts. Today's interview is with Danny Helminiak, a professional theatrical technical director who has worked everywhere from multi-million dollar theaters to where he resides now, helping youth ignite their passion for theater during their high school years. We are going to learn about doing as many shows as you can, the pros and cons of investing in a theater degree, and how it feels to find the exact right thing. One takeaway I can offer you already, it is worth developing confidence in yourself. For more, stay tuned. Hi, Danny. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited about today's episode. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah. Hello. Hello, everyone. I'm Danny. I've been doing professional theater for a long time. And recently, I have moved from out in the world, theater world, to working in educational theater as a high school technical director.
Amazing. I love whenever anyone is helping other people. That makes my heart happy. No one is surprised.
Yeah. That's not on brand at all.
But it does truly make me happy. So I'm excited to learn more about you. I'm excited for everyone listening to also learn more about you. So I start each podcast off with a good thing and a bad thing. I'll go first. My good thing is that I rewatched one of my favorite movies yesterday, and it just made me happy in a way that I feel like you can only truly be when you just absolutely love something just unabashedly. My bad thing is that I am trying really hard to be more active, and I like being active when it's outside and something I want to do. I don't so much like being active when it's in a gym setting, so I'm just trying to psych myself up for later.
There's lots of good things. Have a good life. So I say some good things. I'm going to go with the hot coffee I have right here is always a good, yes. Real easy, good thing every day. Also just good things is, we are starting a new production, and I love a good thing. I just get to see a lot of the enthusiasm in the kids is really great. I have a lot of good kids this year, and so that's a really big good thing for me. Really helps keep it going. And then not a too bad thing, but always bad, is just there's a lot going on in the world.
A lot going on in the world, and it is not great.
It's not great. That's all we really have to say about that, because we're going to talk about fun art stuff. Yeah. But here we are. Hot coffee and happy kids.
Yep. Just reminding people to vote. Always. So let's go ahead and dive in. Tell me about how you got into the arts and your path to where you are now.
I was always an art kid, very much moving from just physical art to even to music and things. But I, just as a little kid, one day my, mom saw an ad in the newspaper for a children's theater production and was like, "Hey, do you want to do a show?" Fully expecting I would say no, because I was kind of shy. And yes, I was very excited. And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to do it." And I got a lead in the very first show I ever did, this children's theater show. And then I have been involved in theater ever since. Never break once.
What show was it?
It was Rats, the musical, which is...
Rats, the musical.
Yeah, it's a Pied Piper story. So, I was 9 or something.
Incredible.
I played the comedic joke character. I fell off a lot of stools and did a tango.
Rats.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with Rats, the musical. I say we should revive it.
They start the show with singing Memories from Cats, and they say, "Wait, that's the wrong show," and then they switch to Rats, which is fantastic.
I love children's theater writers. Children's theater playwrights are just some of the most incredible people sometimes.
But yeah, and from there I went to college for technical direction, which in the broad sense, is the directing of the technical aspects of theater, right? Depending on the level of theater and the amount of people you have on your technical crew, its job really varies. For most high schools, as I currently work at one there, you have a person, you know, you don't have a full design team that's not students. And sometimes we do have full design teams that are students, but still as a technical director, it's my job to oversee all of those elements. And that ranges from designing the set to doing all of the drawings and all of the, you know, purchasing and all of the implementation of these items. I worked for a long time in professional theater, and when you're doing that versus educational, we had lighting directors and sound directors. So most of what a job for a technical director is in that sense is taking your designer's drawings, your scenic designers who, you know, are very beautiful and very artistic, and, you know, grounding them in physics and budget and things, and figure out how to actually make the dreams of our artistic friends possible.
Incredible. What's your favorite defying reality technical element you've ever encountered?
Oh, just it usually has to do with people wanting to put roofs on sets, which is for a lot of reasons an issue.
yeah.
Mostly, you know, besides weight and angle and things, now there's a big wall where the lights go. So you have to figure all that out too.
Yep.
It's usually that, also, you know, the occasional elevator or trap door that has to magically fall and things. A show I'm working on now, I need to make two, like, cellar doors open up magically with no one touching them, and I'm still trying to figure that out.
Incredible. Ropes.
Yeah, and they have to be unseen, and no, we can't see anyone open them, and it's like, oh, geez. But get a lot of those, a lot of puzzles. So yeah, technical direction is a lot of creative problem solving.
I love creative problem solving. That's probably one of my top five things in this whole world. And my favorite creative problem solving moments usually revolve around water, whether someone's like, we're going to make it rain, or we're going to drown this character in a bathtub. And it's like, what? I have successfully done both multiple times now. We didn't actually drown him for our listeners out
That's
there.
That's good. That's good. I did a show once with 85 gallons of water in the set that had drained during the show. And that was, you know, we made it work. The floor underneath was ruined afterwards. We did have to replace the floor just from the little bit of leaks. We, even after many, many hours of waterproofing, it was too big of a pool.
What was that show with 85 gallons of water?
It was Guards at the Taj, which is a show about the creation of the Taj Mahal. I glossed over it a little bit, but it is kind of dark. It was actually 85 gallons of blood, not, but it is just red colored water. No, you know, there's any blood you ever see on stage is not blood, to put
it's
that out there.
Blood. It's usually corn syrup or water. Danny, when did you know you were in this industry for the long haul?
Probably sometime in college. So yeah, I went to University of Wisconsin Stevens Point, which has got which is in the center of Wisconsin, and it's got a pretty big art school there. And I think it probably had to do with the, like, technical theater, especially when you're dealing with scenery, has a lot of late hours often, and a lot of long hours. You know, it's not for the meek of heart. And when you're painting a set at 1 a.m. and you're like, not upset about it, you're like, okay, well, maybe this is the right thing, you know? It's like, you know, maybe I'm happy doing this. That is a, yeah, it's a full mood.
Incredible. So one of the things that we've already touched on, but I'd love to learn a little bit more, is the difference you found around shifting out of, like, large scale, multi-million dollar regional theaters into the educational space. Like, what do you love about that shift? Do you miss anything from your professional experience now that you're in education?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is profoundly different. I'll say the main difference is really just the willingness to learn, right? Because when you're in a big professional environment, you know, people are like, okay, no, you're here. You're not like, you know, you're learning because you're always learning, but you're not, there's not as much room for mistakes and things. And I love the opportunity to learn. I love teaching. That's what I've found, is that introducing people to new things is fun, and especially if it's something that is going to stick with them. Because the thing about like educational theater is everything you learn is topical to the rest of your life. I mean, the amount of kids who I've taught to use a hammer, you know, and I'm like, you're going to be able to use a hammer now for your whole life. You're going to, here's how you use a saw. Now you've have the confidence to go make shelves in your studio apartment when you're 26 or whatever, you know, but you don't need to call the IKEA guy to build your IKEA furniture anymore. But I do miss the, you know, there's a different level of art. There's different goals, right? In educational theater and regional theater. When you're doing educational theater, it's for the kids, right? It's for the people who are working on the show rather than, but when you're doing regional, it's definitely for the audience, which I mean, I said both ways. You do want the show to be good still. You want the audience to be happy. At least to me, it's more important that the kids get something out of it than what the overall performance is. And so sometimes we will, like in a show, for tech-wise, I'll design something that is a little bit trickier that maybe we wouldn't have done, but I want the kids to learn how to do it. Like in our current show, we're building a ramp. Ramps aren't the easiest thing to build. They're a lot more difficult than you'd think they'd be, but we're doing it so the kids can learn how to build a ramp. I wanted to give them that opportunity. In a regional theater, it's like, oh no, these three carpenters have been collectively doing scenery building for 100 years. I can draw them something really simple.
They don't need to learn how to build a ramp.
Yeah, they would be really offended if I tried to teach them how to build a ramp. They might complain about building a ramp, but they will know how to do it.
Yes. I think that's a really beautiful way of putting it, that educational theater is for the people who are on the stage, behind the stage, and professional theater is for the audience. My high school theater experience and my whole educational theater experience had a huge bearing on my career and who I am as a person. And I know that you think high school theater is the most transformative time in a theater maker's life. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, I think it is the most, I would say like the most critical time for like self-discovery in arts and theater is when you're in high school. You might learn more about it in college or things, but if you're going to college for theater, you've already kind of figured it out. You know what you're, at least you have an idea of what you want with your life. You're not just exploring. And I think, I think it's the most transformative in your artistic self, I guess, when you're learning and getting to experience new things. The amount of people who I know who have said like, oh, I really, you know, I did theater in high school, but, you know, I didn't have a good experience. And then they didn't go on to do theater again. One of the things I tell all of my seniors when they graduate is don't let this be your last show.
Aww.
They don't have to go into theater, you know, but they shouldn't quit just when it's, you know, school is over.
I love that.
It should be fun too, you know, and that's when you learn if you love it or not is when you're in high school, not in college. You have to love it by then, you know.
You really do have to love it to get through it. What strategies have you developed to take care of yourself while working in the industry? Like, how do you take care of you?
That's a very interesting question, because I definitely have been worse at it. You know, definitely it's one of those things that I figured out over time, because, you know, burnout is a real thing, especially in theater, especially in technical theater. I would say there's a lot of long hours.
Yeah.
Especially when I was working at regional theater, we would do, you know, regular 10 out of 12s, which for our audience is, you know, you a 12-hour work day and you work 10 of those hours.
Yeah.
I mean, there's your 2 1-hour breaks, but, you know, there's not like there's not a really definite pause. You're still usually in the theater. You usually don't get to leave for that hour, and you're in a room with no windows in the dark. So you really do need to take care of yourself. For me, there's a couple silly answers and a couple real answers. I really prefer to give myself a couple energy drinks and some food with saturated fats. Really helps. Some Pringles and an energy drink really to help pull it through. But the real answers are, you know, just trying not to take it too harshly. And something I tell my students a lot too is really in tech theater, anything you make is up to get cut, right? So
yeah,
you have to be emotionally prepared to let go of anything you've spent many hours on. And that takes a little bit of time. But then you get to a point where you're like, okay, yeah, no, I know that about everything. I'm still going to work just as hard on it. And if it goes away, it goes away. And that's fine. And I think just like absorbing that mantra, I guess, is really a good mental health thing to do. Your stuff can be beautiful, but it might not be the right thing for this show. So
I think the worst time I ever witnessed that was actually at Michigan State. It was my first show working with their department of theater, and the costume shop manager had hand knit a sweater for a character because the sweater was supposed to be from his mom, and she had worked like all summer on this sweater and like finally got it done. And the first time it was on stage, the director cut it. And my whole heart was like, oh no. And I think it was like the first sweater she had ever made, and it didn't look terrible or anything. It just like didn't make it through the quick change process. And it was heartbreaking. So I know many a designer and tech person who has very random things in their home because they spent a lot of time making them and then they didn't get used.
Oh yeah, you should see my parents' garage.
Oh, yep. Exactly. The secret of theater and really art in general. Anytime you're looking at a collaborative experience, I think you gotta be prepared to let go of that thing that you really truly love if it doesn't fit.
Yeah, can't be too precious about things. Yeah, it's a group experience, so everybody has to love it, and that's not always, that's never gonna happen.
Right. But also it could be like the most rewarding when out of the blue some magic happens. And I think we've all had shows like that too.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, and besides being a technical director, I worked as a purchaser for a long time, and finding the thing, it's like, oh, and I found like this thing that lights up in a very specific way and a very certain thing. And now we have the thing that no one even knew was a thing that existed, you know, that we needed badly and just saves the day. And that is more. Yeah, that makes up for every time you've spent 12 hours on something that you never see on the stage, you know.
Absolutely. And telling your friends about it. And taking pictures of it. I think there's also community in the things we love getting cut. Even the playwrights I know.
Oh yeah. I mean, they cut. They're the first ones to cut things.
They're the first ones to cut. They're the first ones to get things cut where they're like, I loved this character. They're no longer in this show. This is making my heart happy. It's making me miss doing theater. So to switch gears a little bit, what media are you consuming now that's like exciting or inspiring to you?
So in my other life, play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons and other TTRPGs, such tabletop role-playing games. And yeah, so literally this morning was watching a episode of from a program called Dimension 20, which is by Dropout, which is College Humor. So a bunch of funny people playing games. I mean, that's most of my media is funny people playing games.
Incredible.
It helps, you know, it helps a lot of aspects of, you know, my day. Yeah, that and just I'm a big comic book guy. So I spent some time yesterday reading of some web comics, and those are always really nothing is prolific, but I recommend just looking at, if you can't buy comics, web comics are fun. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what you're going to stumble upon. There's a lot of just random comic sites, you know, you don't know you're going to read, and that's always fun. I enjoy that.
Do you have any comic recommendations or any tabletop recommendations?
As far as at least tabletop recommendations, Dimension 20 that I just mentioned is always a big recommendation. They're very talented and very funny. Yeah, I highly recommend just doing a quick search because you never know who's going to be out there, and they're all so different. So you might, you know, if you find one you don't like it as much, try again. There's a big variety.
Incredible.
And webtoons.com for comics is good. And your local comic book shop. I highly recommend your friendly local comic book shop and ask them what they recommend, because they will have some things.
I'm here for it. I love these recommendations. What advice would you have for your younger self about this industry?
I would say, you know, to younger me, to honestly be more confident in yourself. Art is something that is a deeply personal thing, right? And while everyone's going to have favorites and opinions and things, and they are important, you do need to take all that criticism. Don't take it negatively. Not everyone's gonna like your art or understand it. And that, to take that criticism as someone trying to help you rather than trying to tell you you're wrong. Because there is no right way to do things. There's just opinions and preferences and things. So keep trying.
Amazing. What would you tell younger people and or like people who are thinking about a career in the art? Maybe they're newer in their trajectory. What advice do you have for them?
To, you know, understand the time commitment, that especially if you're going to technical theater, that it is, and do shows. Do as many shows as you can. I definitely feel lucky that I was, especially when I was younger, I was in a show all the time. I think once I started like fourth grade doing shows, I don't know if there was, I try to the longest period of my life where I wasn't doing a show was maybe 3 months. Always work on something. You will always advance and make you better at what you're doing just by being a part of it. Especially when I was younger, I was in a lot of shows and I went on to do technical theater. And I've been on the stage since I was in high school, you know, and I don't miss that, but I do appreciate all of the time I spent acting and things. It really helps you understand where their point of view is and things. So yeah, try everything. Try every aspect of your craft. You never know what you might fall in love with. I hadn't done any technical direction until right when I graduated high school. I did my whole high school theater director let me be the technical director of the summer show right after I graduated high school when I was 18. And that changed everything for me. That was like, I fell in love with that right away. And I originally thought I was going to go into acting. And I did that one show and I was like, oh, no, this is it. And I went on to do technical direction because I kept doing stuff. I kept trying different things, kept going. And yeah, you just learn.
Incredible. Just keep going. All right. Now, this is one of my favorite parts of the podcast, actually. We get the community to put forth a question. So today's question is from Val. College and theater. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Is a degree in theater necessary? How would you advise people making that choice?
Yeah, I mean, as an educator, I think education is invaluable. But I would say there's a big but on that, especially when going to theater. Theater is important and beautiful, but it is a hard industry to get into, and it is getting smaller every year with the rise of film and even, you know, TikToks and things. Live theater is not becoming a smaller industry as the years go on, and that's just something we're slowly accepting. I don't think an enormous conservatory is a necessary thing to go into theater. I went to a state school, and I went to a great state school, but I will say, look for the state schools. You can get a degree in theater from a lot of places. But I recommend going to a school that's not going to cost you $1 million. You're going to get a similar education. Working isn't going to give you knowledge on theater history, which I found invaluable. I did 4 years of theater history in college, which is more than a lot of colleges do, but it was like a really instrumental to the way I view theater now. And I think you can't get that if you go right into the workforce. But on that note, I learned a lot in working on shows that I didn't learn in school. I recommend summer stocks. That's probably where I learned most of my trade work. I worked for a theater that used to do for the Okoboji Summer Theater, which used to do 10 shows in 12 weeks, which I think they still do, but it's like just the sure amount of work you can get done doing like a summer stock and things is makes everything easier. But I wouldn't have got there if I went to got my degree first. I wouldn't have the skills I did. So I recommend, going to a cheaper school, but going to school.
Amazing. I will say that the thing I always say about summer stock, and I think a lot of people also told me it's if you have any bad habits, go to summer stock and you won't have them when you leave. You just don't have time. Summer stock, for those who might not know, is like super fast theater on the creation side. So the process is like half or a third the amount of time than it normally is. And so everything just has to be right there, right on, because you're doing so many shows generally back to back to back, or on top of one another. So you don't have time for bad habits and you don't have time to get in your head. So
that's theater too, was it also an educational theater on top of it. So it's like, you know, teaching people and doing it quickly is a whole skill that, you know, is instrumental. Also, you know, I recommend college just for college is fun. And you learn a lot about who you are and who you're going to be in college that I don't know if I would have learned if I stayed, you know, at home or anything else. You get to be off and be your own person for really the first time in your life. And it's incredible to be around 100 other people who are also in that situation versus going and buying an apartment, you're renting an apartment as a teenager, you know.
It's true. You could tell that you went to the right school because you have such a fondness for those times. And I think that finding the right school is absolutely the most important thing when it comes to picking colleges. So do you have anything else that you want to share with the listeners? Any kind of advice or, you know, I wish I hadn't done this. I'm a big fan of sharing mistakes.
When I was graduating high school, my high school guidance counselor, you know, everyone has a guidance counselor meeting, said to me when I walked in the room, she said, so you're going to be a teacher, right? And I was like, no. I'm going to go into, at that point, I thought I was going to go into acting. And she said that because my mom is a teacher and she knows her. And also I worked as a TA in high school and was the kid. I was the kid that when new kids came to school, the guidance counselor would have me walk them around. But now that I'm doing teaching full time, it's I wouldn't trade going into and doing the regional theater stuff. I mean, like, I learned a lot and have a much bigger variety of knowledge than I would have if I went straight into educational theater. But I will say, like, you know, just because somebody tells you that you're going to be good at something doesn't mean you should deny it right away. I know I definitely like have a lot of angst in the way of like, don't tell me what to do, you know, but people do know stuff. So like, my recommendation is to consider it. If somebody tells you you're good at something, consider it, you know, even if it's not exactly what you think you want in this moment, you'll grow and you'll change. And so don't forget what you're good at.
Yes. Every experience is a good experience for your future self, even if you can't see it in the moment.
Yeah. And keep making cool art. Don't stop.
Yeah. Keep making cool art. And also, if you're working on a theater show and you're the production manager or the technical director, always ask, where do you throw out the set? So you can remember whether or not you order a dumpster.
True. Yeah, that's something we don't talk about much, but theater is inherently wasteful. So we do throw out a lot of stuff. And so, yeah, learning where the company stands on saving things or getting rid of things is very important. When I worked at regional theater, it cost more money to have the guys take the stuff apart and or to store it than it was to throw it away. So a lot of people threw it away, and that's hard.
Exactly. Like, and if you're an artist or somebody who would really like to have really random things, like, it's not out of the question to be like, hey, theater, who's doing this production, anything you're going to toss out, love to get a look. There's a lot of stuff that goes into that dumpster.
Green Alliance Facebook groups. I'm part of the Chicago Green Theater Alliance, and I give people stuff all the time that we're going to throw away. And look for that when you need something, you know. There's so many people out there trying to get rid of stuff.
All the time. And it breaks our heart to throw it out. So I think it's great when we can reduce, reuse, repurpose. Well, Danny, thank you so much this was an incredible conversation, and it was so nice to have you on the podcast and learn more about you and your practice and all of the above. I can't wait to talk to you again.
Yeah, I love talking to you as well. Anytime.
Living in the Arts is hosted by Laura Scales, with original music and editing by Jason Duran. It's produced by Claire Haupt, and our podcast coordinator is Colin Shy. Living in the Arts is made possible in part by the MGM Resort Foundation and by donors like you. For more information about anything our guest mentioned, be sure to check out the show notes. To learn more and support Living in the Arts, please visit livingartsdetroit.org.
Thank you so much for joining us and so much for listening.